Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. It's good to see the Moores back with us today. Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. It's also good to see the extended Holmes family here. So we're always happy to have our family and friends with us in the house. So welcome. Today, I want to start by sharing with you. It's a long story, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I have a slide. It's called Walking Requires 2 Feet. Walking Requires 2 Feet. And this is from the Church Fathers. It says, when the Lord tells us in the gospel that anyone who wants to be his follower must renounce himself, the injunction seems harsh. We think he is imposing a burden on us. But an order is no burden when it is given by one who helps in carrying it out. And I'm just going to jump down. It says, would you follow Christ? Then be humble as he was humble. Do not scorn his lowliness if you want to reach his exaltation. Human sin made the road rough. Christ's resurrection leveled it. By passing over it himself, he transformed the narrowest of tracks into a royal highway. 2 feet are needed to run along this highway. They are humility and charity. Everyone who wants to get to the top, well, the first step to take is humility. Why take strides up that are too big for you? Do you want to fall instead of going up? Begin with the first step, humility, and you will already be climbing. Today, my title is Goodness and the Cross, the Paradox of Discipleship. And we have a lot of goodness in our reading today. I think maybe we could turn this. We have a lot of goodness in our readings today. In our collect, the author and giver of all good things, nourish us with all goodness, the fruit of good works. And then in Exodus, we read, it said, I have heard their cry. I know their suffering. I have come down to deliver them and to bring them up out to a good and broad land. And then in Romans, let love be genuine. Hold fast to what is good. Overcome evil with good. So we're talking about all of this goodness today, and yet the trajectory of it is the cross. The trajectory for Jesus was the cross, and he says in Matthew that the trajectory for disciples is also the cross, and that we are to be daily making that decision and choosing that. So how do we get from goodness to the cross? It seems paradoxical. So travel with me if you can in your mind. Sometimes my thoughts are a bit of a stream of consciousness, but I start with God is love. And if Jesus is the fullness of God, amen, and Jesus was crucified, then love is the crucified Jesus, and that goodness leads us to the cross. So how do we find that love? What is love? What is that genuine love, and what does it look like? So I think that's kind of the starting point where we need to start. In order to define what this goodness is, all of this goodness, and how we get to a place called the cross, then what does love look like? And I like this definition, so I'll put it up there for you. And this is by Carrie Jo Verhulst. She says, love, if it is genuine, which genuine love, that's what we talked about, if you remember in Romans. I'll just real quickly go back to that. So in my Bible, I don't know if you want to turn to it, you can, but in Romans 12, it's verse 9. The like heading of it is marks of the true Christian. So marks of the true Christian, and it starts like this. Let love be genuine. So the marks of a true Christian, let love be genuine. So love, if it is genuine, vastly exceeds feeling. It engages mind and will, directing and shaping our actions so to reflect and develop that love. At times, quite despite how we feel. This is the kind of love that requires great courage, to allow the beloved to be, to grow, to change, courage to risk our own change, growth and loss. And then this is the highlighted part to me. The art of genuine love is expressed in the radical giving of self, which requires a radical freedom from self. A radical giving of self, which requires a radical freedom from self. Freedom from self, another way of saying that is humility. Humility is foot number one. Walking requires 2 feet. That's what we started with. And humility is foot number one. So foot number one, humility, is freedom from self. Freedom from self is not an easy thing to do. It's actually really quite difficult because it requires something. It requires us to, instead of looking inward, it requires us to take number two, foot number two, charity, into consideration. And that's the radical giving of self. Are we a giving people? Are we concerned with the well-being of the other, of others? Matthew 16, 21 through 28, that's our scripture for today. If any want to become my followers, I have a typo there, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. So I'm pretty sure everyone in the room today has heard this over and over and over again your entire life, probably over the course of your life. You've read it, you've memorized it, you've heard it preached. Many of you have also preached it yourself because I know we have a lot of ministers that are a part of the Sacred Commons. So I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but how many know sometimes we just need to be reminded of what we already know. Sometimes that's goodness. We sang it in the song today. Let us become more aware of your presence. Aware of your presence. Aware of your goodness. I think Moses, when he was there at the burning bush, and he had that recognition that he was on holy ground, and he took his sandals off, and the bush spoke to him, and God told him, I am who I am. I don't think that was the first time that Moses became aware of who God was. I think that was a reminder of God reminding Moses who God was and also who Moses was. And sometimes we need to be aware of God around us, aware of his presence around us, and also aware of opportunities in our daily life for goodness, choices that we make, the things that we do. A lot of times, we talk about denying ourselves during Lent. Some of you may observe the season of Lent. And if you don't, it's usually when all your Catholic friends stop eating chocolate for, you know, a couple of months until Easter rolls around, and then we're back to buying chocolate again. I always feel bad. We live up the street from a chocolate factory, and like the day before Lent, they're real busy. And then the day after Lent, Easter, you can't even go down our street because there's just so many cars. Like, I feel really bad during Lent. They must go on vacation then, I don't know. But we talk about denying ourselves so much during that time of the year, but it's really about doing this awareness. It's not so much about, that's like a silly thing, right? But in a real way, how are we standing on 2 feet, walking on 2 feet of humility and charity, every step of the way along the road that Jesus has already traveled before us. So we have an example of what that looks like. We have an example of what that self-giving love looks like, what that humility looks like. Radical self-giving, radical love, that kind of goodness gets you in trouble. That's how you end up on a cross. And you talked about it last week when you spoke about midwives, and that even from a secular perspective, people are quite aware of who Jesus was, even if they're just looking at him as a historical figure, a literary figure. if they read anything about Jesus, about the Bible, to them, it makes sense that he must have done something to upset the religious leaders and the political leaders of his day to end up being crucified. And how are we as Christians not just saved, because yes, that's part of it, but disciples? How are we as disciples of Christ living in such a way that we're going in a direction like Christ, not just for the sake of being counter or against or to stir up trouble, not just for the sake of that, but when we are living in a way that our goodness, when the good things that we're doing and the people that we're seeing and the people that we're helping and the way that we're living our lives, when it goes against the broken ways of this world, when we do that to the extent that Christ did, that is carrying our cross. And I can include myself in this. This is just a very, very simple story, but it's a convicting thing for me. We were walking in the park this week, and you probably know what the story is that I'm going to tell. But we were walking in the park, and it was beautiful, right? This week was beautiful, and we were with a friend, and we had gotten coffee, and we're like, well, let's go for a walk. So we go for a walk, and it's just, if you've ever been to Wick Park, it's not real big. It's just kind of like a giant square. So we get about halfway around, and there was like a can in the middle of the walkway, and I just kind of like walked past it. And then a little bit further along the way, I noticed that our friend, he was like picking up litter as we were walking. And in that moment, I felt so ashamed. I was like, I just stepped right over a can back there, and I didn't even think in my mind, well, maybe I should pick it up and throw it away. Like, but in my mind, the split second decision that I made was, I don't know what's in that can, if you know what I mean. I don't know if like bees are going to start flying out and get me the second I touch it. I haven't always been this way, but I feel like COVID did this to me. I'm like very like germophobic now, like of touching just things in general. So I didn't touch it. But you know, in the end, he picked up several things, threw them in a garbage can. He was fine. Nothing bad happened to him. It was okay. And it's just, that's a silly little story of what happened in my life this week. But there's decisions that we can make on a small scale, and there's decisions that we can make on a big scale. In addition to that decision, we spent some time walking and talking with a friend, and we spent some time giving each other our attention rather than saying, no, I'm too busy. I need to be in my office at my desk studying to prepare for this sermon this morning. The other decision was, no, I'm going to be present with this person, with these people. And those are just small decisions that we can make in our daily lives. Carol, we were meeting with you this week as well for an initiative that she's invited us to be a part of. And you have this booklet from the CDC, and I'm probably not explaining it correctly, but this booklet, it's about health inequity. And it gives some strategies of things that we can do about it. And as she was like flipping through the pages, I noticed that there were choices. There were different levels of engagement to help either share this information with others. So that was a step that could be taken. So share the information. There were local action plans that you could come up with and do. There was policy that could be changed. And in the same way, I think that's the same with our Christian walk. You know, we can look at it as, well, this is just my personal relationship with Jesus, and I go to church so that I can become a better person, and ultimately that when I tithe in the offering on Sunday, I'm going to receive my blessing, and my life will be good because I'm a good person. And Well, I don't want to completely mock the path of holiness, because that is not what I'm trying to do. I do think that we should, of course, strive for all of those good things. And that part of being a witness to the world is how we ourselves live and make the personal choices that we make. But I do think it's much bigger than just me. I think it is us, and it is us going out there. And that is why at the end of our service, and a lot of Christian services around the world, we're sent to love and serve the world. Because ultimately, it is about us giving of ourselves, being humble and moving humbly throughout our world in ways that seem hard. I want to go now to a quote from St. Augustine, and this is part of Let Him Deny Himself. What seems hard, love makes easy. How hard and painful does this appear? The Lord has required that whoever will come after him must deny himself. But what he commands is neither hard nor painful when he himself helps us in such a way so that the very thing he requires may be accomplished. For whatever seems hard in what is enjoined, love makes easy. Love makes it easy. I think that sometimes our reluctancy is that it's too hard, it's too overwhelming, the suffering is too great. I think that Moses probably felt that when he was at the burning bush, but the suffering's too great, the oppression is too much. There's no way that we can be freed from our oppressors. What can I do? I have a speech impediment. I mean, I'm in hiding myself because I killed a person and now I'm hiding. So I don't know why you're looking at me, God. So I think we can come up with all of these excuses or rationale or reasoning in our mind of why it's too hard. That to truly be a disciple of Christ is too hard. I think that I don't want to overwhelm us with quotes, but I do think I want to share this one. And hopefully I'm pronouncing the name correctly. Enuma Okoro says, "To walk in faithfulness like Moses and ultimately like Christ is to be open to the descending way of suffering. Humility, leg number one, and perseverance that is required if we are to live with compassion, with forgiveness, with the radical foolishness of loving our enemies, and with the pursuit of justice. Our human challenge is to recognize that the descending way of Christ is actually the ascending way, away from the evils of this world. So the paradox of goodness leading to the cross, it makes, I think, a little bit more sense, I guess, to me, when we accept that it's foolishness. It is foolishness, the foolishness of loving our enemy. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to us to walk in this way. It's not easy. It really isn't. And I think that sometimes it's hard to count those costs and to walk in it, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in selfishness and taking care of ourselves and making choices that benefit ourselves and our family. And yes, we all need to have a way of surviving in this world, and that is for sure. But I think of the young people and as they make decisions, and we all still make large life decisions along the way, career and jobs, and do I take on, if you're an independent contractor, do I take on one more project? How does this align with my values and the way that I want to live and move and be in the world? These are all questions that we have to continue to ask ourselves along the way. How is this one decision working for good, working for the good? Is this a selfless choice or is it a selfish choice? Is this something that is only benefiting me, or is this something that I can share and benefit others? How am I bringing justice to the world around me? How am I being aware of my neighbor, of my enemy? How am I being aware of the disparities around me in my city? We also yesterday had a chance to drive around Youngstown. Part of what we were doing yesterday was the first week of Ohio is Nonviolence Week. We were putting up all of the banners at all of the schools in Youngstown to let everyone know it's coming up. We had the opportunity to drive through our city. GPS took us on all the side roads. We drove through all the neighborhoods. And sometimes we just need that. We didn't know we needed that, but I feel like we needed it to see that this is where we live. We're not just getting on 680 and zipping past everybody, getting from here to there, but driving through and knowing that these are our neighbors, and this is our city, and this is where we live. And we love it, and we're proud of it. And we want everybody to have, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, daily bread, like not just daily bread for me, but daily bread for my neighbor. We want the kingdom of God to start here on earth. It's not just about the kingdom of God in the afterlife, so to speak, but it's about bringing the kingdom of God here on earth. So I'm going to close now. I'm going to wrap it up, but you've probably heard this a million times. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. We are called in every situation to be formed by God's steadfast and saving love. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, he said, "He does not call us to do what he did, but to be as he was, permeated with love. Then the doing of what he did and said becomes the natural expression of who we are in him." And we had a conversation about the other day about singing. And we just get into this thing where we like to like watch other people or listen to other people sing like a hit song and then decide which one we feel like is the best cover of the song. So we were doing that. And we decided that the reason why the one that we chose is the best because it was effortless. He not only sang the song, but he made it seem effortless, and he made it his own. And it wasn't like him singing someone else's song. It was him, you know, coming through effortlessly. And I think as disciples, that's what we should be. Jesus should come through us and should be effortlessly. And well, it is us and it is him, but it's this representation of him through our spirit to the world around us, that we should just be so permeated. I love that word, permeated with the love of God. I don't know if you're like me, but when I have a bowl of soup or whatever and I have my bread, I just can't leave like that little bit of soup in the bottom. I gotta like take my bread and like put it in the bowl and just get all of it with the spoon. I don't know if anyone else out there is like that, but it's just a thing I do. I know I'm not alone because I know in our family that's kind of how we roll. The cornbread, it goes in the bowl. The bread, it goes in the bowl. But it's we just soak it up, that Jesus would just be so saturated in us that as we live and move in this world, that it would just be a natural expression of who we are, that the walking on the 2 feet, that humility and charity, that would just be our natural stride, that our gait would follow in his way, and that while it does lead to a cross, that it would be good choices, that it would be the goodness that we share with others that continues us in that path. And when the suffering around us seems overwhelming, Because I think that there's a lot of people in this room who I know deal with the suffering of this world in whatever way, whether the medical field or the mental health, or with charity work, with charities around the city, or with nonprofits. There's a lot of people here, or ministers, other ministers. I think our psalm today, I want to return to Psalm 105 and just pull out a little bit. It says, "Search for the Lord and his strength. Continually seek his face. Remember the marvels he has done." I think that one's, that's really important. Remember. Because God, well, Jesus has already walked this path. And the goodness of God has already shown up in our lives. And sometimes we just need to remember that. Remember the marvels he has done. The Lord made his people exceedingly fruitful. So as I close today, the path to the cross is goodness. And I want to leave us with Isaiah 30:21. Many of you probably have this, you know it by heart. But it says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way. Walk in it.'" Amen.